This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 20th, 2013, episode 874.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, today is your weekly two-minute warning to get busy and surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com and put bad ads in the subject line. Every Friday, Glenn and Jamie perform a dramatic reading of this select group of ads, and the astute listener who submitted what we deem to be the best of the worst will win a fantastic prize. This week's prize is provided by horsegroomingsolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, and economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. Now, sit back and enjoy this combo platter of previously aired horse-inspired hilarity featuring Aaron Bolster, world champion grizzly wrangler, and world-famous horseman Buck Brannaman.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie and Jennifer. Hey, did you guys see I posted the new Warhorse trailer that they just put out up on our Facebook page?
Sorry, I said I was going to actually go watch it right now. Should I go watch it?
Yeah, go watch it and then come back with your tears flowing down your cheeks and your tissue box out.
Really? Is it a tearjerker?
Well, this whole movie is going to be a tearjerker. I love what Mary Bengel said as a comment on our page. She said, "My heart is pounding. There should be a special showing for equestrians, so when we are all weeping into our popcorn, the rest of the crowd doesn't think we're totally nuts." And she's right about that. I don't think it's going to be just horse people that are weeping into their popcorn on this one. Did you watch it?
I'm watching it right now, and I don't even have the audio turned up, and I have goosebumps all over my body. And I'm getting emotional just watching the horse charge through the battlefield. Oh, wait, now he's chasing after a girl. Oh, he's rearing up. He's telling him that.
Oh, you
got to
have the music turned up, though. The music is half of it. The music is fantastic on this.
I have to stop. Yeah. I can't do it. I'll lose the whole motivation for this show.
I know. Isn't it something? That's coming out December the 28th, so we're looking forward to that. We're going to make that one of those weekends where we get our listeners to go watch it the same weekend. We're going to have a virtual viewing, and we'll all come back the following week, and we'll talk about it on the air, because this is going to be the movie. They're already saying that this is probably going to be the movie of the year. This will win the best picture of the year and everything. They're already predicting that.
And really?
Yeah. So I'm going to do this right now. To Steven Spielberg, may you not put any fake Winnies into the Warhorse movie. That's my
That's never going to happen. You're going to be hearing whinnying right and left from horses. Again, only horse people know that horses don't whinny as they, they're galloping and you pull them up to a halt. They don't go, ee-hee-hee-hee. I mean, they just don't. Spend some time with a horse. But maybe the War Horse is different. Maybe he's not going to win any when he
Steven stops. Spielberg, we have to at least hope, you know, that he would get it. We have to hope. We have to pray that he'll get it. But it's cool that he's making this movie. It's cool that the book and the play has become so popular. And it's cool it's about a horse, just like another one we're going to talk about here in a couple of minutes. But I also wanted to give a shout-out to all the girls over at Horse Junkies United. That's our blog over there that we have on a regular basis, horsejunkiesunited.com. They did a video called Behind Closed Doors, a barn tour with Jessica Phoenix that they just put out this morning. So I watched that this morning. If you want to see Jessica give you a little barn tour, she has a very nice barn, by the way, give you a little barn tour and introduce you all our horses. It's a neat little piece and a neat little video. You can find it at horsejunkiesunited.com. So go watch
Jessica's
sweetheart.
Was that her daily whinny?
Yeah, that was two of them. I had two of one and a half, sort
you,
of. Steven Spielberg was
You didn't play the daily whinny thing. You went from talking about Steven Spielberg to talking about Jessica Phoenix. You've got to play the daily whinny music to separate it, Glenn.
Here's the one for you.
So my daily whinny goes out to Barbara Evans, our listener, I think it may be our only other listener that likes baseball, because certainly you don't. So Barbara posted on our Facebook page that, Jamie, it looks like both of our teams are pooping out, mine being, of course, the Atlanta Braves, and hers is the Red Sox. She says, fingers crossed. I don't know, but I think it's going to take more than fingers crossed. I think it's going to take getting on my knees and saying a prayer to the good Lord saying, please, I shouldn't pray about baseball. I really shouldn't. But my God, if they could just win one game, just one, they would clinch the wild card series and they would go to the playoffs. But no, what happened yesterday? What happens, Glenn? They lose 7-1 to the Phillies. Now it is coming down to the very last game of the season. If they win this game, they go on to wild card success. If they lose, they go home. And which team are they playing? The like hardest team in baseball, the best team, the Phillies. So, Barbara, it's going to take more than fingers crossed, my friend. It's going to take an army. It's going to take somebody, like every time a Phillies player gets up to bat, if there could just be a minor earthquake. Just something like that.
I actually saw that posting yesterday, and you know how I love baseball. So I actually,
I know,
for the first time this season, went and looked at the statistics and had a chuckle. I did have a chuckle. I have to say I did have a chuckle.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I mean
and,
they're trying.
And what other sport, Jamie, can you be less than 50% and still go to the playoffs? What other sport
all
can
of
you
them?
Suck and still go to the playoffs?
All of them. I'm pretty sure you can go to the playoffs.
Usually in football, they're more than 50% to get to the playoffs.
Well, I don't agree with the whole wild card race. I do think it should just be the best of the best, and the wild card is kind of a crapshoot. I probably hate the wild card because the Braves have lost in the playoff run to the wild card team, and it just doesn't seem fair that you can lead the entire division and then go fall to somebody who just had the best record. But they do have a good record, and they won't be less than 50%, Glenn, at all to go to the playoffs. So I'm just frustrated. Sorry. The Braves are 89-72. They need to be 90. Sorry.
All right, now that you got that out, you and
and
oh,
and Barbara,
by the way,
and
Barbara, I did look at Boston too. Not so good. Not so good.
Yeah, not so good.
We used to live up there, and boy, if you don't root for baseball and you live near Boston, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble if you don't root for baseball up there. And just like here in Lexington, I don't like basketball either. And boy, you don't say that to anybody here in Lexington. You know, University of Kentucky.
Oh my God. I loved it. I loved just saying that I hated basketball going to UK. Because that's where I went to school, and people would be like, do you bleed blue? And I'm like, no, I bleed red, and I don't like basketball. And they'd be like, oh, my God! What are you doing here? Why are you in Lexington? I'm like, the horses, dude. The horses. I don't care about your basketball.
they're real big into their football either, but they really stink at football. So it's you can get away with saying you don't like their football team, but basketball, don't ever say that here. We get beat up. Hey, I have a couple of things. We have a very exciting announcement, and we got some yesterday. Some people sent in some really bad ads. Well, our prize this week for the winner of really bad ads, everybody's going to be excited about this, is the $80 champion snowman, the horse that inspired a nation by Elizabeth Letts. We had her on Monday. We're going to be giving away one of her books. Brand new one, right off the shelf. It's going to go out to you if you're the winner of really bad ads this week. So get your ads in. Start looking. You want to send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. So this book, I talked to the PR person last night. She called up to thank us. And she's a big fan of the show, too, Jamie, by the way. She said that Elizabeth loved her interview with us, thought it was a lot of fun, but she is just being swamped with interview requests. I saw that Reuters just put out a review of the book this morning, and that went out on the wire services. She is going, she can do all right by this book.
Well, and you know, Glenn, I've been reading it nonstop. Actually, it's pretty much all I did yesterday was sit on the couch. I'm supposed to be like taking care of horses and moving in and you know, organizing and cleaning. No, what did I do? I sat on the couch for like 4 hours reading this book. It is just such a page turner. And I did realize that this book is going to be very successful when my husband came home and I had, you know, quickly cleaned the kitchen to make it look like I'd done something during the day while he's at work. but the
we
book
all know
was
that's
sitting on the coffee
do.
Table. Oh, totally.
Jennifer does the
we
same thing.
We can do nothing, really. Yeah, do nothing all day and then all of a sudden make, like, one big motion right before he comes home to, like, make it look. And then they come in and they're like, wow, this place looks great. You've been working really hard. You should rest. I'm like, I should. My feet really hurt. Whatever. So I take the book, and it was sitting on top of the coffee table, and I knew this book was going to be successful when he said to me, are you finished with that book yet? Because when you are, I really want to read it. I'm like, you want to read a horse book? He goes, it just looks like the greatest. It's, what a good story. The $80. He didn't even know anything about it, but reading the title and looking at the front page, he's like, I have to read that. Like, oh my gosh, this book is going to be huge. Yes, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be the movie that inspired a nation. Show jumping is going to be crazy. Snowman is the best. And I realized too, Glenn, I don't know if you remember this. I don't remember it live, obviously, but I remember seeing clips of it just in kind of like Best of Tonight Show stuff. Do you remember before Johnny Carson hosted The Tonight Show, he would sub every once in a while and come on and be the like sub host. And have you ever seen a picture of Johnny Carson climbing up on a horse and sitting on the horse backwards?
Yes. And a matter of fact, I think that Best Of clip's still on YouTube someplace.
That, my friends, is Snowman.
Is that right?
Can you believe that? So I'm reading the book, and I'm not going to spoil it, but at one point, I mean, it's just a little blurb about the fact that he gets, at Madison Square Gardens, he gets invited to come and be on The Tonight Show because the story of this $80 plow horse that's, you know, becoming a world-renowned show jumper is such a popular story, and it's at such, like, a downtrodden time in U.S. history. It's the book is so reminiscent of Seabiscuit to where, you know, it kind of is a horse that inspired a nation, much like Seabiscuit did in the 40s. So it's really cool. He actually, because their van was parked far away because they couldn't afford the parking at Madison Square Garden, he actually took Snowman and led him from Madison Square Garden all the way down the streets of New York to the set of The Tonight Show and brought him on stage at The Tonight Show where Johnny Carson was hosting. And they said that all he did was just kind of stand there and blink at the camera. And after Harry DeLayer assured him that Snowman was gentle, that's the scene where you see Johnny Carson climbing up on him, sitting on him backwards. Isn't that hilarious? So it's such a good book. I'm absolutely in love with it. I think it's going to be such an amazing movie.
Yes, I do too. I think I can't wait. I can't wait, and I'm sure that, you know. And congratulations, Elizabeth. She seemed like a nice lady, and they did get in touch with the All Tech National Horse Show. Remember, we tried to get them together because we had Mason on, who is the president of the horse show, and we mm-hmm. could have her on. Well, they did talk. The PR people talked yesterday, so they're trying to work out. So they're trying to work on that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, we also, for all of our listeners who have been, you know, asking about what book, like Rebecca Klopping posted, like, what book are you going to read next? What book? And then I said, well, obviously, I should read Snowman next online, on the air, and just do a little bit of Snowman at a time. They said a big fat N-O to that one.
Yeah, they're really not real excited about you reading it on
Can we read the book? We didn't even finish the sentence. So, yeah, not going to happen.
Well, maybe you could, do you have a paragraph? You said you had a paragraph you want to read. Was that what it was, talking about the Johnny Carson show?
No, not that paragraph. I just read this paragraph in this book yesterday, and it was just so, it's just such a great, it's a summation of what the book reads like and how eloquent Elizabeth Lett's writing is and how it just kind of gathers the personality of Harry and Snowman kind of all together and just lets you know, he had such a difficult life before he even got to America, being what with the, you know, the war and Nazis and fleeing. He was a Dutch immigrant. And so he had gone through this whole entire life before he even got to the U.S., and then started this whole nother life, and then Snowman came into the picture. So I just wanted to read a paragraph. This is him actually at a horse show in the warm-up area. And it's just a cool paragraph that kind of summarizes the whole book, and it'll make you want to read it. You want me to read it?
Yep, go ahead.
And now a dramatic reading of the $80 champion by Jamie Jennings. Here we go. Harry sat astride his old teddy bear, reins loose, the same look of unflappable calm on his face that the spectators and competitors had seen there all week. Nobody at the show, except for Johanna, knew about the times that Harry, as a boy, had driven a beer wagon past Nazi checkpoints with contraband grain hidden inside one of the empty kegs. Nobody knew about the time he had found his brother, Jan, lying still as a stone in the field after touching a cultivator made live by blown down electrical wires. Nobody knew that Harry Dallaire, had World War II not intervened, would probably be on the Dutch riding team, riding the European circuit, getting the best horses and looking toward a berth for the 1960 Olympics. You could not read any of that on Harry's face, but you could not miss the look of steadiness. It was something shared by man and horse. Those two understood endurance. Both knew you could do no better than to give it your all. As the riders and horses circled the schooling area, as overdressed and interfering owners strutted back and forth, as grooms scurried about flicking away bits of dust from their charges, Harry and Snowman seemed above the fray. The horse was relaxed, and so was the man. They would help each other come what may. So far, not a single horse had achieved a clean round, and any faults, and the horses would enter a grueling jump-off, but a clean round would win the title. Oh, isn't that just awesome?
That's very good. She's a good writer. Very good writer.
Really is.
Hey, yep. I'm going to have to have you give a call back. You're breaking up here and there. I'll do some other announcements here, and then we'll get you back on here very shortly. So just give us a call back.
Okay.
So Jamie will be back in a second. I wanted a couple other announcements. Chrissy Joy, our friend who called us last week, she was our horsey friend that lives in Texas and was in the modeling competition for the Texas Motor Speedway. Announcement came out yesterday. She came in second place, Jennifer. She just missed winning.
Did she get any money for second place?
No, unfortunately. Yeah, but she said they mentioned that they might actually use her in some other stuff because they were happy with her performance and everything that she did. So that was cool. And
thanks, everybody, who voted.
Yeah, thank you all our listeners who helped support Chrissy Joy. Kind of neat that she got to be second place because she had some tough competition there. So good job, Chrissy. It's Wednesday, so I always have a couple of different studies that I've found over the past week. Well, I have one that's going to make all horse women happy. There's nothing horse women like more than walking out to the barn in the morning with a cup of coffee or stopping at Dunkin' Donuts And I know that a lot of them stop at Starbucks and things like that. Well, a study that was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine said increased consumption of caffeinated coffee appears to decrease the risk of depression in women. So there you go. Yes, they and this was not a small study. They studied at Harvard School of Public Health and other colleges. They studied 50,000 American women and with an average age of 63. And what they found is that if you had four or more cups of caffeinated coffee per day, you had a 20% decrease in the relative risk of depression.
You know what you also had, Glenn?
What's that?
You had an 80% increase in trips to the bathroom. Oh, my God.
Have you had your coffee yet, by the way, baby? Just checking.
I'm drinking it right now, and I'm on my second cup, but I have to pee so bad. I'm not going to make it to the song.
And we all know those people. Jeez, I knew them when I worked in offices, especially if you work in an office. You know those people that just drink coffee all day long. I mean, they have 12 cups.
Yeah.
That's probably excessive. Four is probably the most you want to do in any one day. And then the other study I found that was picking up for Man Nation here is, and I'll just read the first sentence, for women pouring scorn on their male counterparts susceptible to the man flu, be kind on them. It may be due to a genetic inferiority. We really do get man flu. We get sicker than you is what it says. It says women have a built-in advantage to their immune system because they have two X chromosomes rather than one. And that's possible evidence for why they live longer and they're more likely to recover quicker from illnesses. So us men who are like, we have a cold, we're dying, and you're always picking on us about it. Well, it's true. We get sicker than you. So there.
Really, what that says to me is that you're the weaker species, obviously. I mean, let's put it all together here. You have a Y chromosome, which apparently is weaker than two X's. So what that says to me is that we must be stronger, smarter, more powerful, and interesting, and tougher. So I'm sorry for you. Don't use it as an excuse. Harry DeLayer would say, you're only as good as your try, okay?
And now we have an excuse for not trying so hard because we're sicker.
Oh, you go ahead and use that as an excuse. All you want, my friend. But
one other thing real quick. I just wanted to say thank you to Jennifer. And we have to give her a little round of applause for putting our next interview together as fast as she did and with a lot of competition, which we'll talk about. But I just wanted to give her a shout-out and kudos to my wife because she worked hard to get this next interview we have coming up. And as we'll find out. She had some serious competition, too.
Glenn, that's when you do this. Ready?
Well, it could be that or that.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to talk to our next guest. She's going to be on, and she's the one, her name is Erin Bolster, and she's the one who chased off the bears and saved the boy's life. And we're going to talk to her in just a minute because she's kind of our hero. She's awesome. But before we get to her, we have a couple of news stories for you. I just wanted to let you know that the British Horse Racing Authority, we talked about this not too long ago with Frankie Lovato, the jockey, talking about banning whips in horse racing. It's becoming a very outspoken thing. It's been, you know, a problem in horse racing. It's been drama. Like, some people say ban them, some people say don't. Well, the British Horse Racing Authority has now not banned whips, but they have tightened the whip rules. As far as the amount of times a whip could be used during a race, it's half the amount that they can use it for as well. So the new rules introduced say that you can use a whip 7 times on any flat race and 8 times in a timber race or jumps race. And only 5 times after the last furlong. So you can't go whip, 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 whip. So they're actually they're doing something over in Europe about it.
Well, good. And, that, you know, that's one of the compromises I think I remember us talking about with Frankie was to limit the use, not to ban them entirely, but to limit the excessive use of whips. And that sounds like what they're trying to accomplish there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a step in the right direction, I think. And then the other thing I saw that's really cool, and you might have seen a little bit of this at the World Equestrian Games. I'd never heard of it, but it's called the ID system, EYE, capital D, system. And it's going to be officially launched this year. And it is an iris scanner for a horse. And then with that iris scanner, an identification code pops out, which is electronically stored along with some photos, and that's going to be part of the pedigree registrations.
Oh, okay, so yeah. They were demonstrating that at the wagon. I did get to see it. Apparently, your iris is just like a fingerprint. You know, everybody's is different.
I had no idea. I think it's kind of cool, though, because, you know, I've been looking at horses with one of my clients, and we've been looking at buying horses, and people hand you the papers of the horse. And, you know, honestly, kind of like a Coggins test, you can kind of go, oh, yeah, these are the papers for this horse. But really, you know, if it's a gray horse, it's just a gray horse's papers. I'm having a hard time, like, trying to figure out whether papers are actually go with the horse or not. So that's kind of an interesting way to do it, to do an iris scan. So technology is taking over in the horse registry world. So I think it's kind of neat.
Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do. We have our guest on the line here, and I don't want to hold her up, Janie. So why don't we'll postpone the commercial to after we talk to her. So why don't you introduce her? I don't want to keep her holding today. I know she's got a busy day ahead of her. So why don't you take it away?
Yeah, she's kind of a big deal. Erin Bolster, we call her the Grizzly Bear Wrangler. She's not just a horse wrangler. She's a grizzly bear wrangler. She worked for Swan Mountain Outfitters, and we'd like to say good morning to Erin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fantastic, and we're so glad to talk to you because we feel like at sometimes when there's a big breaking news story that we because our show's in the morning, we kind of head off some big names. We got you before who? What are you doing later today?
Well, it's not later today. Later today I have a local news interview, but on Tuesday of next week I'm going to be on Letterman. probably Tuesday. It's not a firm schedule yet. We're still working on some logistics as to whether Tonk is also going to be making an appearance.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I'm sure you had no idea, but let's back up a little bit and let's start from the beginning and tell everybody your story and what happened.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, I work for Swan Mountain Outfitters, and we're based out of West Glacier, Montana, which is right outside of Glacier National Park. And we do have a large bear population in that area, both grizzly bears and black bears, and we see both frequently on the trails. It's not an unusual experience, but usually it's very calm and peaceful. The bears continue eating, or they just wander off into the woods. But on the morning of this incident, I was taking a trail ride out. I had 8 guests with me. It was actually 2 separate families. It was a father and his son from Northern California and a family of 6 from Illinois. And so we were going out on the trail. It's just going to be a 1-hour ride, which is actually the shortest ride we offer at that corral. And we rode out about 10 to 15 minutes, and we got to this point in the trail where most of the trail is lodgepole pine. It's very open. You can see a long way, but this is a little more closed in. There's a lot more bushes and huckleberry bushes and serviceberry bushes that are hiding the view. And my horse, Tonk, he just froze, and he wouldn't move, and that's very unusual for him. And about 2 seconds after he did that and he froze and looked off into the woods, this little spike buck deer ran straight toward us, and the deer actually hit my horse in the left front shoulder. And then the deer continued running down the line of horses that was behind me in the trail. And a few seconds after that happened, I saw why the deer was running so panicked directly toward us, which, of course, is the wrong direction that deer usually run. And it was because he had about a 700-pound grizzly bear right behind him. And we'd had a very late winter, and our huckleberry bushes were not ripe yet. None of the berries were out, and our bears were really hungry. They're not typically big game hunters. It's not their thing. But this bear was hunting. He wanted a deer. He was very hungry. And so when that happened, the boy right behind me was a little 8-year-old boy, and he was riding a horse named Scout. And Scout's a phenomenal horse, has worked with us for years, always been a very trusted child mount, and still is. But when the deer hit him after he hit my horse, it turned taut to the right. The bear and the deer were coming from the left. And all the other horses behind Scout turned around directly on the trail and went back toward home. But Scout, who had turned 90 degrees to the right because of the deer, was now running directly into the woods. But the deer went with the other seven down the trail. So the bear's focus shifted from the deer to Scout. And Scout became the new prey. So the bear took off after Scout, never really stopped, actually. He just continued right on chasing and just shifted his attention to Scout. And at that point, all the other horses and people were running the other direction, and I had to turn Tonk back toward the bear and run at the bear, and I kind of cut the angle from the way it happened, and I was able to get between Scout and the bear. And the bear had tunnel vision. He did not even see me or the big white horse at first. He just saw Scout, and he saw hunger. So he was chasing Scout, and I got between them and turned directly toward the bear, and at that point we were about 35 feet apart, maybe a little more, and then he was charging directly at me, so I charged directly at him, and we got about a little less than 10 feet apart from each other, and at that point he finally called chicken, and he spun off to the left. Tonk stopped, and the bear started to do another circle around, because at this point, right behind me, the boy had at this point fallen off of Scout. Scout's training had kicked back in, and he froze the second the boy fell and was standing next to the boy. But the bear was circling back around to come still try to get either Scout or the boy. At this point, I don't know what he was focused on. And so I had to turn Tonk toward him again and charge at him again. And this one was more of a side-on. I charged him on the side and chased him. And finally, he turned and started running away, and he finally continued running away, and I went back, picked up the boy, put him on Tonk, got on with him, and we went back and found his dad and found the rest of the people.
Okay, so God, my entire body is covered in goosebumps right at this moment. I mean, just to hear you talk about the bear circling back around, the boy is on the ground. What is going through your head at that moment?
It was not an option in my head to let the boy get hurt. I didn't know how all of it was going to go, but I knew that bear's attention had to be shifted to me, that whatever happened, it was going to be me and Tonk and that bear and not that boy and Scout and the bear.
Do they train you at all for this? Do they tell you what to do during a bear attack? Do you have bear repellent with you? I mean,
So there's never actually been a charge, an attack on a group of people on horses by a bear until this day in Montana. Bears are generally scared of horses, so it had never entered anyone's mind that we would be chased by a bear in a predatory way. It had never really happened. So there was no training for that. We certainly had training for how to deal with bears that we saw, that were just a little territorial, but never in this sense. We do carry bear spray whenever we're going to be on the ground. We do offer lunch rides and stuff like that. And, of course, we have bear spray then because we're on the ground, we're vulnerable. But when you're on the horse, generally the bears see you as a very large animal and they avoid you. So there was no specific training for this, no.
So
can I ask a question here, Jamie? I'm a Percheron lover. Let's talk a little bit about your horse. Because, you know, we've owned large Percherons before, And, you know, first of all, did you have any doubts that your horse Tonk, which was a very large cross, Percheron, I think, quarter horse cross, right?
We're guessing on the quarter horse cross. He's very obviously Percheron, but we don't know what else is in there. He doesn't have any papers, and the man I ended up buying him from had just bought him previously from another, Wrangler operation. So okay. He doesn't come with a complete history.
Well, I'll tell you what, he has feet the size of pipe plates. So he's a Percheron. You know, there's no question about that. He's very intimidating, very powerful looking. Did you have any doubts that he would do this for you? I mean, he could have turned and bolted back too. And with the horse that big, you ain't stopping him.
Exactly. No, as soon as I turned him and kicked him, and I didn't even have to actually kick him that hard, I turned him and pointed him at that bear, and he knew what I wanted, and he never hesitated. But I remember thinking, thank God I'm on Tonk, because many other horses would not have done it. But Tonk had always been there. He'd never refused me anything, and he was there that day. I didn't really have time to doubt whether he'd do it. I just had to ask him and see what happened. And thank God he did.
Oh, wow. So you get on this awesome horse. You go galloping over. You have this whole ordeal. You pick up the boy. You put him on the horse. You get him back to his family. And I was reading kind of what happened to you and Tonk after that whole thing kind of settled down. What happened with you and Tonk?
Well, after it all settled down, we went back to the barn, of course. But eventually, I've obviously bought Tonk at this time, and I knew that day that I had to buy Tonk. So I contacted his owner and bought him. He was more than happy to sell him to me after hearing all the story, and he wanted me to have him very badly too. So his previous owner Scott is a very, very nice guy, and sold him to me at a price I could afford. And so we've been wrangling since, and the first news little article came out, and it didn't really get out of Montana. It was just a local one, and we thought that would probably be the end of that. And then, of course, the guy from Spokane called, and he wanted to do a second article on a different photograph and all that, and then his article is the one that got picked up everywhere. So, and then
you were a wrangler taking trail rides out, probably making not a lot of money, and now you're going to be on Letterman.
Yes, that is the case. It's been a major turnaround.
So, are you going to take Tonk on Letterman, too? We were just talking about how Snowman, the show jumper, was brought into the Tonight Show. So, are you going to take Tonk on stage?
We're working on it. We're not sure yet. I actually have a phone meeting with the producers this afternoon to talk about all of that. They're getting some logistical issues worked out on getting him from Montana to New York. But that's, of course, doable, and luckily Tonk is a very good hauler. He doesn't mind travel too bad. So if he does come on the show, there's an option to have him on stage, and then there's an option to pre-film a segment with him outside. So those are both options. But I believe he'd go on the stage, and he'd probably be a complete ham. He loves attention and treats. So.
He probably has the personality of most Percherons, which is pretty laid back and pretty happy to please. So that's terrific. You know, I got to ask you, and anybody that's been in a car accident will relate to this. Once you've been in a car accident, immediately after the car accident, your stomach feels like it's through your feet. Were you that way when you picked up that boy and you got away from the bear and you realized what had happened? Were you shaking? Were you a mess?
I had probably the largest adrenaline rush I've ever had in my life. I felt, it wasn't so much like a car crash. I felt that. It was more like bungee jumping. It's literally how I felt afterward. It was just like, oh my God, did that just happen? And it all turned out well, so it was okay, but it was very, very crazy. I was shaking, and I couldn't sit down for hours. Everyone was like, oh, just sit down and relax now and calm down. And I was like, that's not possible. The adrenaline kept pumping for several hours, I think.
And so, how happy was that California dad to see you and the sun ride up?
He was extraordinarily happy because he had been right behind his son when the bear came, and his horse had not agreed to stay like Tomcat. His horse, Tank, actually, had headed back to the barn with the rest of the seven horses, and he had managed to get about halfway back to the barn, and he managed to get his horse stopped, and he just hopped off his horse at that point and let his horse go so that he could start running back up the trail on foot to try to come find his son. But, of course, we met him before he got that far, and he was so relieved to see his son. And then, unfortunately, his poor wife, who had their younger son back at the corral because their youngest son was too young to go on the ride, he's only three, so they were back at the corral, and she watched her husband's horse, completely empty, come back to the barn.
Oh, no.
So that was very scary for her. She had to wait probably a good 10 to 15 minutes for us to recollect and come back to the corral. So during that time, she had no idea where her husband or son were. And so she was pretty scared, I can imagine. And she was very relieved to see us when we got back.
Oh, I can't even imagine the fear of a mother. But so getting back to Tonk, say the season ends. There's no more trail rides to do. Where would you have gone and where would Tonk have gone if you hadn't have bought him?
If I hadn't bought Tonk, he would be headed back to Scott's farm in Wyoming. Scott actually does a lot of hunting. He's one of the biggest hunting outfitters in Wyoming. And so Tonk's job in the fall would have been to carry hunters into the backcountry looking for, you know, elk, moose, things like that. And he'd have done that through the end of November, and then he would have gone to pasture with the rest of his herd until spring of next year, when he would have come back to us.
And so, where is he going to go now? And where is he going to go now?
He and his best friend, Elio, that's, I guess, another neat part of the story. My best friend, Kristen, who works at the corral with me, ended up buying her Wrangler horse for the year, too, which ironically is just Tonk's best friend. He's from Wyoming, too. So she bought Elio. So Elio and Tonk, we've arranged to have a nice 6-acre pasture that they're going to have privately to themselves. It's real close to where I live in the winter. And they're going to hang out there and be pleasure horses and go exploring with Kristen and I this fall in Montana and just have fun. And
yay!
Be pampered.
Because these regular horses, I mean, you know, and then they lug around the hunter guys and equipment all winter. You know, they work very, very hard. And
they do. They're hardworking horses.
Yeah, they really are, and I just am so excited that Tonk, you know, is going to be rewarded by having you. Now, how did you get rewarded at the end of this?
They certainly gave me a good tip, although that was the last thing on my mind, but they certainly did give me a good tip. And my employers were very supportive and very happy and everything, and were very appreciative of what I've done, and of course they want me to come back next year and all that, of course. So other than that, I guess Tonk is my biggest reward. The opportunity to purchase and own him is the biggest reward I've had out of this, and I'm really looking forward to having him this fall, and it's going to be great.
Well,
you are
the name.
I was just going to tell her that, you know, you just truly are a hero in our minds. We've all ridden in the woods. We've all had that experience where the horse turns around on us. And for you to do what you did, and I'm sure you did it without even really thinking about it, but good job and congratulations, and what a wonderful thing you did.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm giving you a big old hug.
I didn't think about it. Well, I just knew what I had to do. There was no choice in my mind. And I think any of my Wranglers that I work with at Swan Mountain would have done the same thing if they could have.
Well, if we ever go out there, we're going to Swan Mountain, Jamie. We're going to ride to Swan Mountain. They have the best Wrangler.
Anyone who's in Montana, we definitely would love you to come ride at Swan Mountain. We actually have 5 corrals in the state, so we can accommodate people no matter where they're visiting, usually around the glacier or Swan areas. So we would love to see people out there.
What's their website?
SwanMountainOutfitters.com.
Okay, everybody, go. If you're going to go up there, go ahead and go to Swan Mountain Outfitters, and then you can go ahead and request to be on Erin's ride because she'll save you from bears.
Yes, and I'm located at the West Glacier Corral. But, of course, if you call them, they know that. But I'm at the West Glacier Corral. We then have 3 that are inside the park, and then we have our one that goes into the Bob Marshall Wilderness down in the Swan Valley.
You know, Jamie, you can look at that another way, and you could say, don't ask for Erin because hers is the ride that finds the bears. You could look at that another way.
You could say that. It was actually funny. We have 5 Wranglers that are corralled, and 2 of us had the reputation of being the bear guides. It was just, of course, luck, but Brock and I saw bears almost every day for most of the beginning of the season. And then we had a Wrangler, my friend Kristen, who only saw 5 bears the whole season. It's just luck, but some people think Brock and I must smell good.
Well, and you say that seeing 5 bears, only 5 bears, she only saw 5. That would be plenty for me. I mean, 1 is cool. So, Erin.
Yes.
Congratulations for doing what you did, and you're a total hero, and we are thrilled to talk to you, and we hope we can have you on again. Once all this calms down, I want to kind of know what this experience led you to, and maybe we'll talk to you before the next Wrangler season kicks up and find out how you're doing.
Oh, that'd be fabulous. I'd love that.
All right.
Have fun
Sounds
on the
good.
Letterman show.
Yay!
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye, Erin.
Bye.
Wow, she's
awesome.
Terrific. I can see why people like her as a guide. She's probably fun to take a ride with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What a sweetheart. And you just don't know what you would do in that situation, and she took care of business. That's for sure.
Well, we'll keep an eye, too, on Letterman's schedule to announce when she's going to be on next week. That thing always changes. If they say you're going to be on Tuesday, you might be on Friday. So we'll keep an eye on that and try and keep you informed of when Erin's going to be on. We'll have to DVR it and make sure we watch Erin on the Letterman show, hopefully with Tonk. Sounds like they're trying to get Tonk out there, too. That'll be fun.
It's awesome.
Good job, Jennifer, booking that one. She was great. Terrific. Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor.
Far and wide, sure as the wind blows, each cowboy got thrown by the horse that nobody could ride. Then down out of Cheyenne came a quiet and shy man who dared to try something that no man had tried.
And it looks like we do have Buck here at last. This is a pleasant and a wonderful surprise, everybody. We were supposed to have Cindy on, and she apparently is stuck on a train. And I would say that Buck's probably never been a backup to a producer, but Buck, I am thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't think that I'll be asking Cindy to back me up at one of my deals.
Probably not a good idea, unless you need it filmed, of course. Hey, Buck, my wife and I went to see the movie last week here in Lexington, Kentucky. Of course, horse capital of the world, right?
And absolutely.
I got to tell you, it was nothing like I expected it to be, but it was so much more. It turned out to be, I got goosebumps just sitting here talking to you about this. It was an unbelievably terrific movie, whether you're a horse person or not, and congratulations. What a good ride.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. But thank you for sharing what you've been doing with the rest of the horse world.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You know, Buck, I got to tell you, were you happy with the final result? And I know, you know, that's tough to ask you to be honest about that, but a lot of people that they do movies about them, at the end they go, it wasn't anything like I thought it would be, and they're disappointed.
No, you know, I was real happy with it. But going into it, I already had a relationship with Cindy. We were friends, and so we'd gotten to know each other enough that I knew that she wouldn't disappoint me, and she would be the best one out there to be able to tell the story. And interestingly enough, even though she had never directed a film before, what I found was really interesting was, is most of the time you have a filmmaker that then searches for a project, something compelling to tell. She already had the compelling story that she wanted to tell, and it turned her into a filmmaker. And I think maybe because of that is really why she did such a great job. I was really pleased.
And you, one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised with in the movie was how your family came into it, your daughter. That's a part that I had never heard about before. And how much she is emulating you at this point and really may become, another Buck here in another 10, 20 years.
Well, you know, what's really neat as a parent is that yes, she's emulated me because we like the same things. She loves to ride and loves to rope and loves the livestock. But at the same rate, she is very much her own person. She's got her own identity, and the older she gets, the more she really is her own person, and that is just really cool, because just being a mini me probably wouldn't be the best thing for my daughter, to be honest with you.
She is a heck of a rider too.
She's handy. Yeah.
I bet she's a heck of a person too.
She is. She's I'm so proud of her. She's really a good girl.
I thought that Cindy did a great job, too, and I don't want to give away anything. As a matter of fact, Buck, we're getting Facebook messages like crazy right now. I'm going to see Buck the next Tuesday. It's so good to hear him. And people, we have a lot of Canadian listeners who are asking if it's going to be released in Canada. Do you know?
You know, I don't know, but I've been getting some calls, too, because I do a handful of clinics in Canada. I don't do very many up there just because I'm so busy here in the States, but I can't imagine that it won't be released in Canada as you know, that's a big horse country too. So, but at the same rate, you know, as you said, it doesn't have to just be horse people that it appeals to. And that's what I'm so pleased about that Cindy did, that we always wanted it to be something that had an appeal and touched the hearts of people that weren't necessarily horse people.
Right. I gotta tell you too. There was, and I'm trying not to give away too much for those that haven't seen it yet. But I'll talk cryptically about this, and when they see it, they'll understand what I mean. There was the one part in the movie that literally had us jump out of our seats. By the way, the whole audience screamed and jumped, and you know what part I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How that ended up, I was so happy that it didn't get what I call Disney-fied. That it didn't end. You didn't change the outcome, or the producer of the movie actually didn't change the outcome to make it everybody lived happily ever after, because that doesn't always happen.
Well, and really and truly, we labored with that, and again, I'll try not to ruin it for everybody, too, because I hate it when someone tells me what happens in a movie, but there was a bigger message in that I am so pleased that whether it's in New York City or Sheridan, Wyoming, that the audience got the point to it. They got the bigger message that was intended in that. And
what would you say your biggest message was in this movie, Buck?
Basically to me, there was two major points to me, and that is whether you're going to have horses or dogs or children, with that comes a great responsibility. And it's not just in keeping them fed and a roof over their head. It's to teach them, to help them learn how to get along in the world and to do your part when you have an opportunity to affect the rest of something or someone's life. And people really did get that. And through part of the story, they will see that just as easily could have been me.
Well, and it really, those two points really came across. I mean, this was one of those movies, Buck, that when you leave it, you know, you've seen okay movies, but this was one of those movies that you talk about for a long time after. And in my opinion, that's what makes for a great movie.
Well, it's, you know, there's been a lot of my friends have called me and said, a bunch of us got together, went to the film, and now we've all seen it three or four times. And that's what you hope for, that it's a profound enough message in it, that it's entertaining and thought-provoking and emotional in a good way. You know, when people would leave the theater and they would leave the theater crying, they were not crying because they were sad. They were crying because they were moved. And those kind of emotions never hurt anybody.
That is so beautifully said, the way you say what you're saying, Buck. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You know, I have a couple silly questions for you because we are a morning show and we deal with silly. the coffee in the morning, you really do still make it in the old pot?
Yeah, I do. You know, when I'm... excuse me. I was just choking on some coffee there as you spoke.
I'm picturing black as black could be.
Actually, when I first met Mary, my wife, I was, she probably thinks a bit of a caveman because I would drink any kind of coffee from any truck stop, from anywhere, as long as it was the right color. And I have to admit, she's turned me into a coffee snob. You know, I get up and make my little pot of Starbucks coffee every morning.
You've gone over to the dark side.
Yeah. I had to meet her in the middle. You know, she was raised in Boulder, Colorado, which is, you know, kind of the Berkeley of the Rocky Mountains. So,
right.
You know, they all have to have their little Gucci cup of coffee there. I'll be darned if she didn't turn me over, and now I'm kind of a coffee snob, too.
I didn't see any scenes in that movie of you driving into a Starbucks to get an espresso latte with vanilla cream.
No, I don't do all that. I don't do that tutti frutti coffee.
I like the tutti frutti.
I figured.
Yeah, what can I say?
And what have you? Say? What? And I know we're running out of time here. What have you taken away now since the movie? First of all, my second silly question is, are you the next Clint Eastwood? Now you're going to Hollywood, or what?
Well, no, I don't really. For me, I'm not delusional about this at all. I know that this will, you know, it'll be very exciting for a while, and then everybody will move on, and I'll be back to being me, driving down the road with my truck and horse trailer, and. Doing
and
what
your
I've
really
done.
Cool hat. You've really got a nice hat. I like that hat.
Thank you. In the future, I'm actually going to do. I wrote a book called The Faraway Horses. It's been out for a while, and it's more of an in-depth story of my life, and which is you can do that in a book form. And
right.
The goal all along has been to do a feature film that really centers on my brother and I and our family when we were young and kind of growing up, and what really got me to where I am today, a lot of the life experiences, and some of them are, of course, quite dark. And then, and I wrote this book with the intent of it being a book of hope, that it's not necessarily a guarantee that your life is going to turn out poorly just because you maybe had a dark beginning. And so I will end up doing a feature film. In fact, we may be signing a deal today.
Well, congratulations with that. You know, we actually had Smokey on the show a couple months ago. He's been on the show before, and he just reminded me too of the old Cowboys cowboy.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Well, thank you, Buck. We really appreciate you being here. Congratulations,
yes.
And what a terrific movie. I wish, we're definitely still going to get Cindy on, because I have to congratulate her, too. It was just well done.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to both of you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye, Buck.
All right. Happy trails.
Happy Friday.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. I'm laughing because I made that comment and Jennifer was strangely quiet. she's very reserved today.
Yes.
I'm really
yes.
proud of her.
More news stories. Today.
Yes. More news stories. Besides your man flu that's real and that you guys are bigger wimps, Uncle Mo has been training again, and I think he's going to run in a race this weekend. So that's the good news, is Uncle Mo's going to go again. I don't know why I'm so infatuated with this horse. It's probably because we're Facebook friends, and he posts stuff all the time.
Okay. That's the reason, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. You know, if you're not friends with Uncle Mo on Facebook, you got to go look, because he writes things as himself. And I'm going to try to find a post from Uncle Mo, but it'll be things like, Uncle Mike won't let me use the computer, so I haven't been able to post very much recently, but I just grabbed the computer and I'm hiding in the back of my stall. And I just want to let you know that I worked with Uncle Johnny and I was really fast. Like, this is his most recent post, okay? This is Uncle Mo's most recent post. Hi, friends. I worked with Uncle Johnny. I went really fast. Fastest work of 79. Uncle Johnny was telling me to slow down a little, but I pretended I didn't hear him. Uncle Todd asked Uncle Johnny why he let me go so fast, and Uncle Johnny said it's because he couldn't slow me down. Ha ha. Uncle Mike came by and watched. Then he took me out to graze. I love it when he takes me out to graze. And he lectured me about only going fast on race days, and I agreed with him. And I guessed him. I told him I understand, but if I didn't, obsessive and overprotective Uncle Mike would have called me day and night, and I'm not going to lose the Kelso. Do you think I went too fast? That's Uncle Mo. How can you not love this horse? Hey, yeah. Yeah.
caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is, a good running start to get me over that fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, remind me, I want to ask you, because you had to bug out of the show early. We run out of time today. You had to bug out of the show early when you were getting your footing in.
I know. I'm so excited.
I want to see a picture tomorrow of your footing.
I'll show you a picture of the big pile of sand that is in my front yard right now, because they couldn't get the sand trucks, like, because my arena, they'd have to go around the back of the property and then drive around to the front because it's all fenced in and they couldn't fit through the gate. So there's a big giant pile, and then today the guy with the backhoe is coming to scoop it and then drive it back out there to the arena and dump it and come back and scoop it and then dump it and then scoop it and then dump it. And I'm glad I'm not doing it because that sounds like really boring work. But I will have potentially an arena by the end of the day.
Well, he's glad he's doing it because he's billing you by the hour. So he's
no kidding.
Thank you, everybody, for
your sand. Oh, I was like, oh, he's serious. Oh, God.
Cat loves that pile. The cat loves it. Hey, we're going to be back again tomorrow morning. We have another great show planned for you tomorrow. So we hope you join us again at 9 a.m. Eastern. Don't forget, you can listen to all the recorded episodes of our show and all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. You just go to horseradionetwork.com. And a little teaser for tomorrow, I managed to get the winner of the 2010 Tevis Cup. John Crandall is going to come on with us. He's going to tell us what that was like, winning the hardest 100-mile race out there. And he has a little congratulations coming, Jamie, because John Crandall is also on the U.S. Pan American team. He's leaving very shortly to train for the endurance at the Pan American Games in Mexico.
Wow.
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning.
Awesome. It sounds great. Of course, you can listen to all of our shows. You just go to horseradionetwork.com or horsesinthemorning.com. I just went to horsesinthemorning.com, and in the little search thing, I put sheath. And any episode that we talked about sheath cleaning popped right on up. So you can go ahead and look at that. But thank you so much to Aaron Bolster of Swan Mountain Outfitters for joining us. Of course, thehorse.com. And everybody, enjoy your day and spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, we'll see you at Peelers, everybody.